Hello and welcome to episode 71 of the Blue Cup Tools podcast. I am Francisco Gonzalez, also known as Grunislav, and with me, as always...
Hello, I am Ben Chen, also known as Ben304.
You're going to have to speak up because otherwise I'm going to fall asleep along with our listeners.
Okay, I will speak up, lol. Hello.
There, hi.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, well, I'm good.
Hey, guess what?
Get what? Oh, that's my face you're touching.
I am touching your face.
That's molestation.
It's not molestation.
It is.
No.
It's your...
So, for all of you dear listeners who may have listened to the podcast last time, we're actually in the same room right now.
You're on my bed.
We're on your bed. Mm. This is a bit strange, but...
No, it's comfortable.
It's comfortable. Very comfortable.
Not playing Doom.
You have such a big bed.
And Sheriff's still sleeping alone.
Yes, that's right. But no, yes, I am actually in Western Australia currently.
Hello.
In Doodlakine.
Welcome.
Yes, thank you. It's nice to be here.
It's nice to also be here.
Yeah, you've been away from home for a while.
Yeah, I was down at the coast, and then I went over to Melbourne to meet up with you.
That's
and
right.
And Zenogia from the AGS Forums.
Correct.
And Rizoka.
Yes.
And McGinns.
Yes.
I hope I've said that right.
Yes.
McGinns.
Who now lives in Melbourne.
Yes, he does. And various other people.
Yes.
Which was lovely.
Yes. So, the question is, Ben Chandler, seeing as we've been traipsing around Melbourne and Eastern Australia and whatnot, and now we are in Western Australia.
I'm sorry for just touching your leg.
Oh, it's okay.
I didn't mean anything by that.
You can touch my leg if you like.
Okay.
Anyway. I lost my train of thought.
Seeing
I got
as
so
we've
ruffled.
Been traipsing away.
Oh, right. Seeing as we've been traipsing around. Have you had time to play anything? I just watched you play Doom.
Yeah, I just played some Doom.
But aside from that?
Just little bits of Waxworks. I downloaded, when I got to Melbourne, Zenogia, also known as Dean, very kindly said, you may use my internet for as much as you want because I have no limit and it's fast. So I downloaded 40 gigabytes worth of role-playing games from GOG, so... As soon as I get home, lots of game playing. But well, I haven't really been playing much. I've played it.
But you're home right now.
Well, I mean, when you're back in America.
Oh, right.
And I don't, you know.
Feel guilty about playing games while I'm sitting here crying into my ice cream?
Again? We've been through this once today. Does it have to happen again?
Well, yes.
You just had a, what are you talking about, face on?
You can actually see the faces I make now.
I can. And the, yeah. No, I haven't been playing much.
Well, it's understandable. You haven't really been...
The little computer time that I've had, I've been, like, doing game work.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so I don't want to fall behind on my job, so I haven't been playing many games.
You're very responsible.
I am.
I'm sure our boss would... Dave will appreciate hearing you say that.
Good. Have you played anything? Except for... I watched you play Day of the Tentacle on the... Aeroplane.
Yes, actually.
And you didn't finish it. You got to finish it when we got back to a power socket.
Yes, that's right. My laptop died. Well,
and you used my copy of Discworld 2 to install so you can play that.
Yes.
Anything else?
I played Sam and Max Hit the Road on my flight from
that's a good one.
New York to Los Angeles.
That's a good one.
It is a good one. Yeah. And surprisingly, my laptop survived the trip. It took me about four hours or so.
It's not a super long game, but there's a lot of going back and forth.
It's not... Yeah, there is. And I hadn't played it in a really long time, so I was able to savor the dialogue and kind of, you know, remember.
Mm.
There were a few funny jokes in there that I had forgotten. Like, when you're talking to the carnival guys, and they're like... He's like, can you buy clothes off the rack? And they're like, our clothes are naturally... Or, this is our skin. It's naturally green and vinyl-like. And he's like, good lord, he's buck naked. So are you. Yeah, but I'm cute and marketable.
That's a good one.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
I can just talk to all the characters in that game and giggle.
Yeah.
They're good.
I just like the whole, like, question, exclamation, non-sequitur options.
Yeah, it's like a bit like Discworld. But
yeah. I think the only other LucasArts game that kind of went that direction, sort of, was The Dig.
Hmm.
Where you could just ask about icons and things like that.
Sort of.
Which I also have...
Icon-based dialogue stuff is weird.
Yeah, I'm Yeah, I'm not too fond of it.
It kind of reminds me of the modern thing where you like you have like an option like be aggressive, be thing, and you click it, and you're like, I wonder what the end result's going to be.
Yeah, it kind of goes against the whole classic LucasArts thing of knowing exactly what you're going to say. But, oh well.
But then I've also been playing a little bit of Quest for Glory One.
Oh yes,
the EGA
one. I saw you play that,
and that's got like instead of any of the things, you just go ask about apples.
Yes,
so that's interesting.
Ask about apples. That's nice alliteration there.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I made a game with 4 A's in the title once.
Any Android and Automated Affection?
That's correct.
That's, wow, I remembered. I'm surprised. I don't remember much.
The thing, I was trying to make a reference to batteries, because she's a robot. AA.
I see.
She takes 2 AA batteries.
Does she?
Yeah.
That's kind of...
It's not much.
No.
She's very efficient.
Clearly. Anyway. Yeah, I think that's what we've been playing.
That's all we haven't played. We're the worst nerds ever.
We really are. Maybe we should talk about what we've been up to the past week or so. For 5 minutes.
We have a very pizza short podcast. And then watermelon.
That was tonight.
I know.
Your dad made us pizza.
He's lovely.
He is.
And he gave us watermelon.
He did. He did.
And then we met in Perth. We met up with Darth Helmet, 86.
Yes. And we met up with... We actually co-worked with Jacob Janerka, who's working on Paradigm.
Yeah, and we sat in a smelly room and made advanced
Well,
games
it wasn't together. That smelly.
Well,
it was when smelly we when we left, thanks to you.
It was, and you.
I didn't... No, that was not me.
And it was smelly when we got there, because... I was just trying
to... Well, it was
smelly
when he got there.
I was just trying to leave the place if we found it, because I feel that's respectable.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
that's an admirable admirable thing to do.
So, yeah, that was lovely. And then we went out for dinner with him and a couple of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And we...
We had pho.
We did. I had chicken chow mein.
I had satay beef.
I don't use chopsticks. You know, I remember when I was staying with Dane Crams in Brisbane, and he took me to an Asian food place that he loves, and he was like, "Oh, dude, you're getting chopsticks? No, that's too hard. You won't be able to eat it fast because it's rice." And I was like, "You watch me, Dane Crams. You just watch." And he was impressed with my chopstick celerity.
Do you have a lot of experience using chopsticks?
Yeah, because I studied Japanese when I was in primary school, and they made us learn how to use chopsticks as part of the class.
That's interesting.
So, like, I'm not super good with them, but I'm good enough that I can happily eat a meal without being like, oh, what do I do with these weird things?
Well, that's good. Yeah, they actually asked us if we wanted forks or chopsticks, which I thought was kind of funny, because I've never... Yeah, when the lady came over to the table, she asked us.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Yeah. I was probably marveling at something.
Probably.
Lights... I'm not used to such things, lights, probably. Carpet, no. Humans, being surrounded by human beings. It's weird for me. But yeah, that was nice. And we had a nice time staying with Darth Dan.
Yes,
And playing with his children, well, child.
Child.
But with enough energy for more than one.
Yeah, definitely.
And teasing him about Mario. Well, I did.
Mario, yes.
Yeah, and Melbourne was good. I got to see the art gallery, which for me was a great thing. I need to go back there and spend more time in there.
Yeah, the art gallery was
They
nice.
Shut at 5 o'clock, which is ridiculous. I'm a human being. I have needs.
Well, most art museums and such closed at that time.
I would have liked much longer.
Yeah, when they said that, I was surprised that I hadn't thought to look and see what their hours of operation were. We kind of that's the thing when you're on vacation, though. You kind of forget about time.
Well, also, we're indie developers, so the idea of having a start and finish time is...
That's true.
...is this foreign concept to us.
That's very true.
But yeah, so I'd love to go back there and look at the painting some more, because I was very appreciative of the opportunity to go and look at art.
Good.
And good art, and up close and far away, and walk close to it, and walk back from it, and...
I'm used to guards coming and yelling at you when you get at least, like, 2 feet away from a painting, whereas here you could just stick your nose up in front of it and pretty much just look at things and be like, look at those brush strokes, and no one would really say anything.
I enjoyed it, and it's nice for me, like, to look at really good painters and try and break down why their paintings look good. And I do it a lot on Google image searches and blogs of painting and stuff like that, but it's different when you actually see the brushes.
Oh yeah, closer. Absolutely.
It's totally different. So I really enjoyed that.
I think I just found one of your hairs in my back pocket.
That's most likely. I have a lot of them.
What was it doing in my back pocket?
Well, you were asleep and...
Oh.
It was a team bonding
experience. You took a picture of me.
It was a team bonding experience.
What was it? What?
That's all.
Oh. Okay.
And yes, I did take a picture of you.
You took a picture of me when I fell asleep next to you and you said I was...
You were sleeping against my buttocks.
I was not sleeping against your buttocks.
You were.
I wasn't. Anyway. So, yes, that's what we've been playing and doing, and I suppose.
And we walked through the rainforest.
Yeah,
with my
we
aunt,
did.
And we
ate roast lamb.
And we we've done. It doesn't sound like we've done a lot, but we did a lot. We sang
we
karaoke until
it's
very
been a
late.
Week. And I'm still here for 2 weeks. So
yeah, and in Melbourne,
plenty
in
to
Melbourne,
do.
We watched films and we watched Death Spa.
Oh,
Troll here. 2.
Oh, yes.
Miami Connection.
Yes.
We watched...
Birdemic.
Well, that's not a film. that's not a film.
Well, yeah. And most importantly, we watched The Room.
We did watch The Room.
Which...
Don't
worry about it.
so, that broadened my horizons...
Yeah.
The other way. Because I watched a lot of really, really highly recommended films last year. And now...
Which I'm looking at.
Yeah, and they're the ones I haven't seen.
If I could see behind your TV,
they're the ones
I haven't
seen
them.
But thanks to Dean and your company, I watched some. I mean,
horrible films.
Yeah, they were.
They were pretty horrible.
The worst part for me.
Oh, Troll! Did you mention?
I did mention Troll 2. And the worst part of all it for me was the face of the mother in Troll 2. She is. No. She is Satan.
The poor lady.
She's terrifying.
You should watch the documentary about Troll 2.
I don't need to. One look at her face tells me I never want to see anything associated with her ever again.
That's rude, and you don't know that lady's life.
I don't care. She horrified me.
Well, what if she feels the same way about you?
I'm glad. That's fine.
Okay.
Then we never have to meet.
Well, one would think, but you never know. Yeah. Crazier things have happened in this nonsensical world we live in.
So
or something.
Yeah,
I'm very tired.
Yeah, me too. So that was, and we've been sleeping on couches and sleeping before, and people have been very kind.
Yes,
and
they have.
Stay with
them, they have, including your family that's letting me stay here.
Yes. And
in a nice bed.
And oh, I'm so excited to be in my bed. I can't even.
Yes.
And people have like made food for us and taken. It's been really nice.
It has been really
and,
nice.
And I'm tired. And
yeah, well. And you're the one that wanted to record a podcast.
That's true, because otherwise we were going to go to bed at like 8 o'clock, which is just
it's
depressing.
Baby time. Wow, wow,
wow, wow.
Anyway,
we're getting up early tomorrow to go sheep wrangling.
Yes,
so that'll be interesting for you,
I guess.
We can watch people shear, and I can.
Well, I have to do something. I'm not just going to stand
around. Yeah, sure. No, don't worry. There'll be plenty to do.
Okay, good.
I promise you that.
Good.
I
rode in a tractor with your brother
you
today.
You did ride in a tractor with my brother. That was probably slow.
Yeah, it was cool. We talked about psychedelic music. Anyway.
He likes the 70s and 60s a lot.
He does.
He's a hippie.
Nah, he's cool. Anyway, we have a topic today for the podcast.
Thanks to Anas.
Anas Abdin. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Mm.
He says, how do you handle major changes in the game's elements? And he mentions the fact that he's working on a game that he's changed the title for, and he wants to know... Once you've already established your game and you've sort of given screenshots and established the title and, you know, main characters and things like that, how do you go about handling any major changes? And this is an interesting topic because I have worked on games and I've seen games that go through sort of major changes I know that Dave Gilbert has experienced this with the Blackwell games, and I know he experienced it with the Blackwell Legacy, where he released some screenshots pretty early on, and they were not representative of the final game. And yet, even so, media outlets were still using them as screenshots.
Mm.
That tends to happen quite a bit, I've noticed. Like,
well, people... go back to the press release that you first emailed out and go, oh, where's the press release? We'll check that.
Well, ideally, one doesn't send out screenshots until they're final in a press release.
Yeah, but also, it can be... I remember Dave put up, like, a thing. I mean, I think we all have that inertia, which those of us who studied physics will know is resistance to change. And
you don't have to talk to me about resistance to change.
I know, you're the Luddite.
I'm pretty much the authority on resisting change.
But I mean, I think in hindsight, I remember when Josh Nuremberger announced that he was going to change the name of Boryokuden Roo to Gemini Roo, and I was kind of upset because I love the name Boryokuden Roo, but in hindsight, it was such a good decision.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes you have this title and you're just not sure about it. And, you know, you're just like, oh, I don't know about this. And I know Josh himself said, he's like, I don't know how to pronounce this word that I've named my game, which is pretty bad, you know?
Yeah.
So I think at first I was like, oh, why did they change that? But like now I look back, I'm like, oh, how ridiculous. If they called it that, you know, I don't imagine it would have done so well. I don't imagine people would have understood what sort of game it was.
Maybe.
You know? And it can be hard, like, it's weird because we get to be really idealistic in a thing and you have, like, this idea of a game, this is what I'm going to make, and as the game changes, it grows. As the game grows, sorry, it changes and things evolve and something that seemed like a really good idea. For example, you wanted to put driving in a Golden Wake and you soon realize,
yeah,
this idea that I had is not gonna suit my game.
Yeah.
You know, so I think as you see something develop, you get a sense of what's working and what's not working. You know?
Sure.
And you kind of nurture it. And go like, okay, well, is this suiting the game currently? Do I need to change this? That's the whole point of testing and reviewing and everything like that.
Yeah, but I think more what he's asking is, what happens if you have already established your game?
Sure.
How do you handle, like, for example, that AGS game, I think it's an AGS game, The Journey of Iazur, formerly known as The Journey of Iazur, known as The Playwright's Tale.
It was at one point an AGS game. Okay. I'm not sure if it is still, although I think Dan listens to the podcast, so he can probably tell us.
Okay, yes. I believe Daniel, that's correct. He does, because he clarified something for us about this game.
Very good.
Previously.
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't know how, you know, I mean, it's been talked about for quite a while, and then it undergoes a name change. I don't think that's... You don't really have to do a whole lot of damage control as long as you, you know, make it clear that this was the game that people were already informed about.
Yeah. It is kind of hard once you've got yourself a group of people interested in your game.
Yeah.
And they're waiting for that game.
Yeah.
So you're like, I want these people to go, yeah, I want this game.
Yeah. It's not really that difficult to... keep momentum going once you have people interested. It's not like, I mean, people have pretty short attention spans on the internet, but it's not like they're gonna say, oh, what happened to this game? I never heard anything else about it. Oh, wait, what? Now it's called this?
Yeah.
Yep. There's pretty, I mean, just like it's easy to announce your game in the first place, it's pretty easy to get people's attention and let them know that your title has changed or whatever.
Yep, I think some people will be like, oh, I wish the title had stayed how it was, because once you're comfortable with the thing,
yeah,
you're comfortable with it, and you have that inertia, the resistance to change, and you're like, okay, this is the game I'm waiting for. But a title change is really a very surface thing. It's a very superficial thing, really. It's not like you're going, oh, this was going to be a 2D adventure game, but now it's going to be a first-person shooter.
Right.
You know, so...
That's a pretty extreme change.
I guess. I guess.
I mean, yeah.
But yeah, so that's the important thing, is to, like, I don't know about art style change. There have been a few projects I've worked on where we thought about doing it one way, and then it turned out that wasn't the best way for certain reasons, and screenshots had already been put out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as long as... you have, when you actually go to the press and do your proper press announcement, I think as long as you kind of, you know, if you're doing a green light campaign, if you're doing a Kickstarter campaign, if you're doing your full press release or anything like that, if you change it beyond that, people might go, this isn't the thing that I thought I was supporting. You know, I paid money for this. So I think it's important. Important to lock a style in reasonably early.
Yeah, this pretty much just speaks to the idea that I mentioned before of don't don't make any official announcements until you're pretty sure what your game is going to look like, if you're going to do that with art
style. I mean, there are examples where that's not always the case. Obviously, the Phoenix Online / Pinkerton Road Kickstarter, where they didn't even announce really anything.
Yeah.
They just said, oh, we're thinking about making some stuff.
Yeah. I didn't really pay attention to that Kickstarter. It was really like
we've got a bunch of different ideas. We want some money, and with that money, we'll make something.
I do remember when they were doing the Kickstarter for Mobius.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing, or when they announced Mobius,
yeah,
the only thing that they released was this weird piece of concept art
with the lady running.
Yeah,
hmm.
Which doesn't even really tie into the, well, it does tie into the game because, from what little I've seen,
women run away.
No,
from Malachi Rector.
They would if their legs worked correctly. Sorry, Phoenix Online, if you're listening to this podcast. She's the one who dies.
You're a meanie.
I know I'm a meanie. She's the one who gets murdered and starts the whole investigation of Malachi Rector's.
Yep.
So, but I thought it was a little strange to have that as concept art. Especially considering that before anyone knew what Mobius was, people thought it was going to be a 2D game. Did they ever say it was going to be a 2D game?
Not that I remember. But
because I'm under the impression that
it was a long time ago. I can't remember.
Maybe. I don't know.
Mm. But you think of, even like big companies have many changes. Look how many changes the Dig went through before.
That's true.
That's so much. Like, that changed so much. And even sometimes it sucks. Like, Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah.
The 2001 trailer is phenomenal. It's one of the most amazing video game trailers I've ever seen. Especially if you're an action game fan.
Mm.
And the final product, honestly, is nowhere near as exciting as, even with the upgraded graphics, you know, all the new technology that got thrown into it.
Do you have Duke Nukem Forever?
Yeah, I've finished it. I've played through it.
Do you have it in the big box? Or is it digital?
No, I have it. I have the thing over there.
Where?
It's a big square box, just...
Oh.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah, I got the collector's edition for like $10 because nobody wanted it. Nobody bought it. So, there you go. But yeah, so like...
Oh, you have No One Lives Forever and No One Lives Forever 2.
I do. I like both of those.
Yeah, I have them too.
They're good.
Not in the box anymore, sadly.
Oh, that's just a shame.
The CDs. You have nice PC, DVD things. I'm looking at your infamous collection of games. And
it's quite large.
You have a lot of games.
Thank you.
Like, I don't know that was a compliment.
No, neither do I, but I'm going to take it as one because okay. I'm happy to.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, you look at Duke Nukem Forever went through like five different changes or something like that. And I think there's a point where you're actually hurting a project by not just getting it done and finishing it and going, you know. If you're reworking a thing that many times, there's no way you're even slightly true to what the original thing was meant to be.
Yeah, we've talked about this on previous episodes about going back and the artist's curse and all that stuff.
Yeah, so like...
how it's not worth doing.
Yeah, so sometimes I think...
Well, generally it's not worth doing.
I don't know how, like... how 3D Realms handled the thing of having this amazing trailer out that everybody loved.
Yeah.
Then going, we're changing engines. Yeah. I honestly don't know how you do that. Because
I don't either.
Because it really did look like a fantastic game. And if the game had played like that, it'd probably end up being the best game of all time in terms of first person shooter. It just looked so good. It looked exciting, interesting, dynamic. It made, you know, it made Half-Life look stale.
Mm.
And lifeless. So I really don't know. And as far as like name changes and stuff like that, I mean, infamously there are games such as Out of This World / Another World, which because of copyright reasons, you know, look at Heroes Quest and Quest for Glory.
Yeah, or Broken Sword and Circle of Blood.
Right, so there are games that are different names in different regions just because of copyright law, and it doesn't change anything.
No.
Really?
I guess not.
It doesn't change a thing. What does it change?
How you perceive the game? I don't know.
Not really. I mean, I guess, you know, a very sort of, you know, ominous name to something jolly and happy. You know, it'd be like, okay, well, this isn't really what I signed up for. But I think, like, we place a lot of emphasis on the importance of titles, but I think, you know, I think you can go, yeah, okay. tongue rhyme with this other one? I don't even know what I'm saying. I'm sleeping. I'm laying down in my bed. I'm very warm and comfortable. So, I don't know. But yeah, it's really hard when you're right in the middle of a project and mm-hmm. it's your current baby.
Yeah.
Like, you're not looking at it from an objective point of view to go, yeah, I got to change this, and now I got to have to tell everybody about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's really hard to go, this is just a minor thing. But I think it kind of is. And I think even when people have promoted your game, supported your game, and that, I think if you change graphic styles, people are going to be divided over that.
Mm.
Because if they originally got drawn to your graphics, which, let's face it, when you announce a game, it's the screenshots everyone's looking at.
Oh, absolutely.
They're gonna look at the what you've written about it, but most of all, people are looking at the screenshots.
Yeah.
And if the graphics are radically changed, some people are going to like, hey, I love the new way. Other people are going to be like, why did you change? I really like that old style.
I remember when I was a kid and you used to see movie trailers, there was often a bunch of scenes in the trailers that weren't in the actual movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I always felt cheated by that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same with games and stuff. Like,
there's screenshots in games.
Yeah, there's screenshots. There's screenshots on the back of game boxes sometimes.
Can you remember one?
I'm trying to think of one now that I say this.
I know I've definitely...
The Monkey Island dog close-up that wasn't in the original thing that's on the back of the EGA box. Or the VGA box. Maybe the EGA one, I think.
I definitely remember one and being like, getting to the end of the game and being like, that wasn't anywhere in the game at all. Mm. And like, I know a film did it. There's a film called Kikujiro, which...
Oh yeah,
it's got this amazing shot of these two guys, and though they do the exact thing that's in that shot in the film,
swimming with watermelons on their heads?
Well, they do the watermelons on their heads and they go swimming, but then two are never... That shot is not in the film, and it's one of my most favourite shots in the entire world.
Hmm.
And it's not in the film, and I was actually a bit upset about that.
Oh.
But, yeah. Anyway.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. Like, I think title change, what does it matter?
I don't know that it does. Well.
Don't stress, Anis.
Yeah.
Don't stress.
Well, title change is just one of the many things that can change in a game. I think we've been dwelling on that.
We need
art, yes, because you know that's what we do.
Mm.
But yeah, what if halfway through, I don't know that you would necessarily go through such a drastic change, like a genre change, throughout the middle of your game development cycle. But and especially if you know we're talking about adventure games, you're not going to change from an adventure game to a first-person shooter and still have it be the same thing. But...
I might.
Well, you might, but that's because you are a weirdo.
Lulo.
And a cat.
Lulo.
Don't say Lulo, please.
Okay.
Thanks. what about if you've already, like, you've put out, like, music samples or something and you have to drop your musician and get someone new or something?
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
It really is. Because there's going to be people that are not happy if they like the music. But I think at the end of the day, whether people realize it at the time or not, whenever you do something on a project, you're doing that for the purposes of advancing the project, bringing it closer to your vision, bringing it closer to this is manageable. Especially in indie where you've got 4 people working on a game, 3 people working on a game, mm-hmm. you're trying to bring it to something that's manageable above anything else. You know, we need to finish this project, you know.
Yeah.
So, if you're making a change in the project, it's usually you have good intent in mind. You don't go, I'm gonna get a worse musician. Nobody, you know what I mean, right?
I do, yeah.
So, I'd like to think that fans understand that, even if they don't always appear to, like that in the long run, that they go, okay, well, they were doing this for the benefit of the project. You know? And sometimes you have to make hard decisions, as you know.
Yep.
Which sucks.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, even in our case, you know, Shardlight has had screenshots published, and
yes,
there's stuff in there that's not going to be in the final game.
Exactly.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
And I know even for the sake of getting a good screenshot composition, you'll move stuff to be slightly different to how they are in the actual game, because they're blocking stuff that you want people to see. So you'll like have a character where the character's not going to stand the final game,
right?
Which I don't know if that's bad or not.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, but some, I don't either.
Sometimes things don't work for you in a screenshot, but could be altered slightly to make it look good. I don't know if that's being dishonest or not.
Yeah, I don't either.
And sometimes the screenshots, it's so early in production that nothing's final.
Yeah, you're and so things eager are going to show something off.
Things are going to change.
Yeah, you show something off and then you realize that something needs to change. I can't think of... there's plenty of times.
Well, I mean, let's...
I can't count how many times I've done it.
Yeah, let's take, for example, a Golden Wake, in which you had portraits done a certain style.
Yes.
And then, at one point, you decided that you were going to revisit them and rework them.
I don't think I ever published any screenshots with the old stuff, though.
But you showed them on Twitter. So you're still... Oh, that's right. You're still showing them around,
that's
you know?
True,
so, you're still, like... You're still going, this is...
And on my blog, yes.
Yeah, this is art in my game.
Yeah.
And then that changes.
Yeah.
And I think everybody was quite accepting of that and, in fact, encouraged it from what I saw. But I don't see every reply to every one of your tweets.
That's true.
So, you know. And sometimes it sucks because you do something different. You edit something and you're like, this is better. And people will say, I like the old version more.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Got that plenty.
Yeah, and recently. Then you just go, well, what do I do?
Yeah.
What you do is you stick with what you believe in.
Exactly.
Unless someone can really, you know.
Yeah, and more often than not, they can't. It's just a matter of opinion.
Yeah, just an opinion.
Yes.
Which is...
Follow your heart.
Oh. And my heart says this. I don't know what my heart says.
Really?
Yeah.
I think...
My heart says that pumping blood is its role. That's, I don't know, but yeah, like that's gonna happen, you know. And the Wadjedite game catalog has changed a lot. I mean, we did a different version of the Shiva because that was mainly done because you could not use the original on touchscreens.
Yes,
you know, so the art style changed quite drastically because Dave just wanted me to do it. Well, Janet wanted me to redo it. Quickly.
Well, everything
it was
in
about
that,
speed.
Everything in that stayed the same except for the art, but that was, you know, the core gameplay stayed the same.
Right, but all the graphics changed, and people called it an HD remake. It was not, well, GOG called it an HD remake. It was not HD, it was actually lower resolution, but the graphics themselves were slightly hard to do with bigger characters and bigger backgrounds. So, in 4 weeks, we redid it.
But what about the change between, say, for example, the freeware version of the Shiva and the first commercial version of the Shiva?
I think the freeware characters were cute.
Yeah.
But I think when you're...
Did Dave draw those?
Probably.
I don't remember.
But I think when you're selling a product, you know, it makes sense that Shane came in and...
Yeah.
You know, said, look, this isn't up to standard.
Yeah.
You know, people are paying money for this.
Yeah.
So, I totally understand. And even like the Blackwell Deception, Dave went and got Ivan to redo
That's
the character
right.
portraits.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I feel really bad for the guy because I like the guy that did the portraits and I actually like the original portraits. I also like Ivan's portraits.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand that they didn't really fit with the rest of the series.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't fit with fan expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave just went, look, the series is coming to a close. I want to leave it in a shape that I'm happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm porting this to other stuff. So I'm working on the game.
Yeah.
I might as well spend a bit of time while I'm here.
And also, as long as we're picking on Dave's games for major changes...
Let's just pick on Dave.
Let's just pick on him. Screw it. The Blackwell Legacy.
Mm.
He re-released a version
different
with
voice.
A different voice.
That makes sense because...
It was for the sake of consistency across
the games. And honestly, the microphone quality in the original was not that great.
Yeah. Well, he only replaced Rosa's voice.
Mm. But she talks a lot.
Well, yes.
A lot.
She is the main...
Yes.
Character, yes.
Yeah, so it makes sense to me because, you know, it's consistent with the other voice actress that he got. And, you know, and that's what he wanted to do. So I guess it got to the point where Gal Friday represents how he hears Rosa.
Yes.
And therefore he wanted to have her consistently be presented in that way,
mm-hmm.
which makes sense.
Yeah. And I guess, yeah, there's people who say that they prefer the original version.
There are.
And that's a perfectly valid statement.
Well, here's the thing. If you're the creator,
yeah,
you have a vision that you're trying to convey.
Sure.
If that vision is off the first time you've got it conveyed, mm-hmm. and people like that, that's fine.
Well, what if you're a creator who is a crocodile,
mm-hmm.
and you decide that in order to make your game or your creation stick more to your original vision, that you need to change it by adding sliding tile puzzles to get into sewers.
I actually think that Charles Cecil, aside from being a crocodile, because he is.
Yes.
He absolutely
we've gone over
And
this.
People have been asking me, why is he a crocodile? He is a crocodile.
Well, that's not an explanation. I want more from an explanation.
Charles Cecil is a crocodile. Look at him.
I don't want
All you gotta
to
do
him.
Is look at him.
I don't want to look at him.
He sits.
I will look at. Look here. Let me go on Google right now and look up Charles Cecil.
He looks like an embarrassed crocodile.
Well, how so?
He does. Look at him.
I can't look at him. Your internet is very slow.
It is. Yeah, but I think here's the important thing about Charles Cecil. Right, he has a pond and he sits in his pond. He lurks beneath the murky waters of his pond. He does, he does.
That's such a great verb.
He was a crocodile, that's what they do. Right? Lurky. And he lurks beneath the murky waters of his pond.
Yeah.
And he just has his eyes above. And he looks like a log. An embarrassed crocodilian log.
Crocodilian log.
He does. And then people come past, this is what happens, he's a predator. He is.
Well, what does he prey on? Their hopes and dreams and emotions playing games?
Charles Cecil said that adventure game genre is dead.
He did, didn't he?
And he took that back.
He did.
Which is such a reptilian thing to do.
Why is it a reptilian thing to do?
Look at him. Look at him.
I don't want to look. My internet still Firefox still hasn't loaded.
This is not my internet. That's just your Firefox.
That's just my laptop being crappy, yes.
But yeah, so Charles Cecil is a crocodile. And
okay.
Here's the thing.
What?
I think Charles Cecil's meddling like that shows a lack of understanding of what the original made the original
here we go.
Great.
Firefox has now opened many, many tabs.
Yeah, you need more RAM.
Hmm.
Yeah, look up. Did you Google search Hare Krishna chant?
Yeah.
That's excellent.
Hey, listen. Don't.
I looked at your search history.
Don't look at my search history.
Is it terrifying?
No.
Well,
not on my laptop anyway.
Well, because it's...
I'm a good boy on my laptop.
look at him face!
He does look like a crocodile.
I told
doesn't
you!
He?
Look at that. Look at that embarrassed crocodile. He's a scaly lizard man.
Look at that, Greg.
Look at that. He's not old Greg. He's a scaly fish man, not a crocodile. Crocodiles are reptiles.
Well, no, they're amphibians, aren't they?
No.
No, they're reptiles.
Frogs and Sicilians and
newts
and salamanders.
But I thought amphibian meant that you could live on land and water.
No, amphibian is a totally different thing. Amphibian means you were born. They go through changes.
I was born.
I don't know. I honestly don't
by the river.
I don't know, but crocodiles are definitely reptiles.
Okay, well, anyway.
Look at him.
There's Charles Cecil.
Look at that. Look at that crocodilian face.
I don't... Mm. So...
We had some technical difficulties, but we're back, and basically Charles Cecil is a crocodile, and I have to wrestle him in water.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you just a theoretical, hypothetical situation. What if you were at a game convention or something, and you saw Charles Cecil? What would you do?
Avoid water.
Yes.
Because that's his natural environment.
Yes.
And they do the death roll.
Yes, they do.
That's bad.
What if he chomped on you? Would you wrestle him?
Yeah.
Well...
If Charles Cecil sunk his teeth into my flesh...
Yeah.
I would wrestle him.
Okay.
I would... Whatever it took.
Okay.
And I wouldn't be ashamed. I wouldn't be afraid. I would just say, this is what I have to do now. This is my task. This is where my life has taken me. And here's the thing. I think Charles Cecil's like a fuddy-duddy, like a muddling old uncle. And I think he's kind of adorable. But at the same time, I don't know if this recorded, because I said this before, but...
It did.
Mm. Good.
No, I mean, no, it didn't.
It didn't, right.
It didn't,
I think Charles Cecil is like the person like, oh, they don't have music anymore. What these kids, the music is dead. When we were children, we used to bang things together,
right?
And that was music, and it was great,
right?
What you have now, all this Beyonce,
right?
Is no, there's no such thing as music. And then one day he became a Beyonce fan and went, "Oh, I was wrong."
Okay,
here is the thing that I banged tin cans when I was young again. You must purchase it, except now I've added on auto-tune.
He did do a puzzle in Broken Sword 5 where you had to bang on some metal pipes. Mm.
Except now that has auto-tune
to make music.
He's like T-Pain, but Charles Cecil.
C-Pain?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I see. Pain.
Yes.
I just realized you have The Lion King.
I do.
Yeah. Is that like...
It's a game. It's a platformer.
Oh, okay. I know which one it is.
Yeah, you know the one. Disney did tons of, like, action dang games.
The Aladdin one was good.
Yeah, So Charles Cecil.
Mm-hmm.
I would wrestle him if I had to.
Okay.
I don't know who I wouldn't wrestle. In games, you know. I don't know if there's someone that I'll be like, no, that's too far.
Is this a challenge? Are you saying that you'll wrestle anyone in games?
I've wrestled you multiple times.
Well, but that doesn't count.
I don't know.
Also, I was drunk every time I wrestled you. I haven't been drunk this trip.
You've matured. You've gotten past that.
I've just gotten old.
Oh, true. I could probably
still wrestle you, though.
I don't know,
secret weapon.
I don't know if there's anyone like I'd be uncomfortable, and I just lay down and just take it, and just take whatever assault they inflicted upon me.
What about David Cage? Would you do a cage match with David Cage?
Are you kidding me?
Well, remember Low Tax said that he would box Uwe Boll, and he did.
Yeah,
and then he got his ass handed to him.
Who? Uwe Boll?
No, Low Tax.
Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
Uwe Boll's like a semi-professional boxer.
But David Cage isn't a wrestler.
No, he's not.
He's
a doughy Frenchman.
He wears cardigans and shit.
Does he?
Probably.
Yeah, I guess he does.
I always imagine him as wearing a cardigan. What was the outfit? He was wearing like some woolen pullover in the tutorial.
I thought it was a turtleneck.
Yeah, he probably was a turtleneck. If he wears a turtleneck, I mean...
Yeah.
I wrestled
against someone wearing a turtleneck today. This morning.
I did. Yeah, but he was 7.
Well, yeah.
I won.
Yeah. Well, I would hope so.
It was pretty easy.
Yeah. Even I wrestled him and
won.
That's
true. But I would... Yeah, I'd take David Cage. And if he beat me, that's fair.
Okay. Do you think that as he did it, he would see, like, button prompts flashing in front of his face?
I think his mood would go down, like, to depressed, like, in the bars, you know? Yeah, I'd take on David Cage.
Okay.
For the good of the people.
Okay.
And if I won, I would make him... I would say, you want to go and have a good look at yourself, David Cage? And I would say, I liked it when you worked with David Bowie because that was interesting and enjoyable, and I think your current work is vapid and sucks.
A succinct summary if ever I heard
one. I'd say, look, as I'm... You know, as I am placing him into my physical custody.
Yes.
I would say I think your current...
That's a very romantic way of putting it.
I think your current focus is somewhat superficial, and I'd like to see you take a step back, David.
Okay. Good.
Charles Cecil, I would just... I don't even know if I wrestled him and won. I don't even know what my conditions of like my victory would be, what I would get from that, except to say that I once wrestled an embarrassed and aging crocodile.
Well, I mean, I guess the only way to figure it out is to actually do it. But I think the odds of it actually happening are kind of slim, unlike Charles Cecil. Oh,
oh, that's come now. That's not called for.
You're right. It's not.
It's not.
Anyway, getting back on topic. What was our topic? changing things. Changing things.
Changing things and how you deal with changing things after you've already shown
After you've already shown them off, yes. So, we've talked about art. We've talked about
voice acting.
We talked about everything.
Talked about everything, really.
Yeah.
Maybe we should wrap up.
Do you think? Let's say for example.
Wrap up and go to bed.
Yeah. Do you think? What about in a remaster, right?
Yeah.
For example, what if they remade Gabriel Knight 3?
Yeah.
What if they took the infamous cat hair moustache puzzle out?
Well, it would certainly be a different experience.
Mm.
I don't know that it would suffer for it, but...
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know.
Could you understand that? Because that puzzle is, to an extent, the laughing stock of the adventure game genre.
I would understand it, but knowing the way that things usually work, I would suspect that they would take it out and replace it with something even stupider.
What if they took out the monkey wrench puzzle from Monkey Island 2? What if they changed that?
Well, they've already done the Monkey Island 2 special edition and left it as is, so that's not going to happen.
Disappointing. But what if it did?
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't have had a problem with it because I understand what a monkey wrench is.
Mm. But the puzzle sucks.
Well, yeah, but there's lots of puzzles that suck in Monkey Island 2.
That's correct.
So you'd have to change all of those.
Would you?
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to go and...
If you're going to go metal...
Yeah.
Would that not cause an outcry?
Why would you... Well, yeah, it would be a completely different game.
Would it?
Sure. If you go in and change the core puzzles of a game, it becomes a different game.
Okay.
They added puzzles to the remake of Gabriel Knight, but I wouldn't say it's a completely different game. It's just a game with different puzzles.
Mm.
And most of them are crap.
I haven't played it. I haven't watched
Neither have I, but I read Richard Cobbett's review of it, and it told me all I needed to know.
Okay.
So.
He's been on our podcast.
He has been on our podcast.
He's not a crocodile. He's a human.
He is a human.
But he lives near Charles Cecil.
Oh, yeah. And he's in crocodile territory. You better be careful, Richard Cobbett.
Yeah, he said that he was quite concerned after certain things that he's written about some revolution titles. That he was concerned about, like, laser dots on him.
Oh,
but what
yes.
I think he should be more concerned about is going near any bodies of water.
Well, if he hears a telltale ticking sound,
mm.
I think that'll be a good indicator that...
Or if he sees scaly reptilian footprints
yes.
near his location. I don't think laser pointers are really his problem. I don't think snipers are going to go here. I think Charles Cecil will actually... crawl around the town seeking out Richard Cobbett if he finds out that he's in the proximity of Charles Cecil's hunting grounds. I just realised that I've just decided that Charles Cecil has a hunting ground based on the fact that he's a crocodile, which he is. He's an embarrassed crocodile. An aging, embarrassed crocodile. I'm sorry to our dear listeners.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
To turning this podcast into me.
Thank you for listening.
Explaining the same thing over and over and over again.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. This has been episode 71. I hope it was as informative for you as it was for us.
Who are you on Twitter, Francisco?
I'm at Grundislav Games. Mm. Who are you on Twitter, Ben?
I'm at crocodile_conspiracy. I'm finding that the reptilian overlords are among us, and they're embarrassed about it.
Because they're making games.
Because they're aging and rotund.
Oh. We're going to get in so much trouble with Charles Cecil for this.
Listen, honestly, Charles, I know you're listening. I think that what you've done for the genre is great, and I don't regret calling...
Don't be an apologist.
I don't regret calling you a crocodile at all.
Okay.
You really are.
So, I'm at Grimislav Games. He's at Ben_304. Together, we are at BCT_podcast.
And I know the password to the Quit Twitter account.
I know you do.
Mm, you told me.
Yeah, but you forgot it, and then I reminded you.
No,
okay, good. So if you see unusual Twitter activity such as DOS screenshots, you know who's had access to the Twitter account.
That's not unusual. That's a good thing.
Yeah, sure.
If you see me do a weird Photoshop with Charles Cecil's head and a crocodile's body, then that's actual photographic evidence that you should all consider.
Then, yes. Goddamn weirdo. Anyway, you can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
Do they have to pay for that?
No, you don't have to pay for that. It's a free podcast.
That's a bargain.
Yeah, it's a bargain at none of the price.
Man.
Yeah, so we'll see you next time. I'm still here for a couple of weeks, so we'll have more podcasts from probably the remote areas of northwestern Australia.
I don't even know anymore.
I don't either.
But we're staying away from bodies of water.
Are we?
Because there's actual crocodiles in Australia, and they're not embarrassed.
I see.
And they haven't even designed any games. Well, so even as they're gnawing the question upon your limbs.
Is there decent internet in northwestern Australia where I can upload big files?
It's been probably it's been like 8 years since I've been that way.
Oh.
So I don't know.
Well, we'll figure it out. And if you're not listening to this anytime soon, it's because we didn't have internet. So
And if you're
thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.